More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, it's wedding season. We'll explore what it takes to have the marriage God wants for you. Call in at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, it's wedding season.
It is.
Listeners of a certain age will get the reference. The rest of you, you just lose out. Sorry.
Oh.
It's wedding season here on More to Life. We are exploring what it takes to have the marriage God wants for you. And whether you are getting married soon, just married, or been married for quite some time, the good news is you can have an incredible, passionate, joy-filled, grace-filled, godly marriage. We want to show you how to do it. In fact, the most important thing you can do as a married person is be working to have a wonderful marriage, and we'll talk about why that is through the course of the program.
This show, of course, is also for those who know someone who is getting married, and perhaps you have your concerns. Perhaps that person isn't getting married in the church, or is doing it with just a wink and a nod, and you know they have no idea.
Or a circus clown on a beach with a ministerial degree from the internet. You know, that kind of thing.
There are many weddings like that now. And for those of us who even have a sort of cursory understanding of the sacrament that marriage is supposed to be, that it is within the Catholic Church, often we look at our children, our family, our friends, and we think, oh my goodness, you know, how do I help them understand this? What am I supposed to do in this situation where they're going outside the lines of this? Or they're married already, and you know that there's stuff going on that either shouldn't be going on or isn't as good as it should be, and you're saying, what? How do I help? So whether you're the person getting married or married yourself, or you're that support person coming up alongside of those people, this show is for you today on More to Life.
Because it's wedding season on More to Life. Give us a call
at 877-573-7825.
You know, Lisa, you're talking about all the different ways that kind of people approach marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the new revised edition of For Better Forever, Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, we talk about the different kinds of marriage that are out there, the different, if you will, marriage products in the marriage store, and what makes them different. You know, what's different between getting married, you know, as I was kind of kidding, by a circus clown on a beach with an internet ministerial degree versus getting married by a JP versus getting married in some random church versus getting married in the Catholic Church? You know, you make different promises in each of those different situations. The vows you make define the nature of your marriage. You know, people think of vows in marriages as just some nice things that couples say to each other. But it's much, much more than that. It defines what you can expect from your relationship. And when you marry in the church, the church doesn't let you write your own vows because a couple is promising to learn how to spend the rest of their lives learning how to love each other as the church defines love, as God revealed what it means to love each other to the church and through the church to his people. And so we talk about those different promises, and that's what makes Catholic marriage special and unique and different, because you're promising certain things to each other in the church that you don't promise in other contexts. And that promise to celebrate that free and total and faithful and fruitful love with each other that you make in the church makes marriage something truly beautiful and truly special. And marriage plays a critical role in God's plan for saving the world. The theology of the body reminds us that marriage is God's face to the world. It's an icon of the Trinity. In the words of both Saint John Paul said this, Pope Benedict said it, Pope Francis has repeated it. Marriage is an icon of the Trinity. The way the couple lives and loves and struggles and serves and sustains and bears witness to that free, total, faithful, fruitful love that flows from God's own heart. Working on your marriage, believe it or not, isn't just a good thing to do for you. It's a ministry, because not only does working on your marriage give you and your spouse a tangible reminder of how much God loves you, it evangelizes the world. Tertullian, one of the church fathers, said, "The pagans say, look at those Christians and see how they love one another." And that's what brought the pagans to Christianity, so that Christianity was able to take over the world in the course of 500 years. Think about that. Christianity started as like, you know, this little sect, Jewish sect, in the back end of nowhere in the Roman Empire, and in the course of 500 years, conquered the entire empire.
And not through war, but through love, through the witness of people loving one another.
And in today's disposable culture, working on your marriage, facing challenges with courage, prioritizing each other, loving each other through thick and thin, making time to learn how to love each other even better, is a radical witness to the love that can't help but not only fill up your own hearts with joy and passion and grace, but actually bring the world to Christ. Because people are hungry for that kind of love. So for married people, you know, living out the joy of the gospel means celebrating the joy of marriage in the midst of this cynical world. We want to help you do that today because it's wedding season on More to Life. Give us a call. Every marriage has some hiccups. You know, what are the little or big bumps that you and your spouse might be struggling with? Is there somebody that is either... that you care about, for example, that's getting married, that's just recently gotten married, you've got questions about that and how to help them out, or struggling with questions in your own relationship. Either way, we are here for you. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for the gift of marriage and for reminding us through your servant, Pope St. John Paul the Great, of marriage's great part in your plan for saving the world. Lord, we are grateful as husbands and wives for marriage, but it's challenging and it's hard to learn to love each other with the love that comes from your heart instead of just the love that we want to give each other. And inevitably, we hit walls, either because we run up against our own limitations or we run up against the pressures that life is throwing at us. Either way, marriage can be tough, and being faithful to our promise to live that free and total, faithful, fruitful love that comes from your own heart is not easy. And so, Lord, we lift up all the couples who are tuning in right now today, and we ask a special blessing on all of them, on all of us, that we would be able to be those couples that are a witness of your love in the world, that through our struggles, through our strivings, through our willingness to hang in there through tough times and to learn to love each other better and better every day, that we not only fill the deepest longings of our hearts for a love that doesn't fail, but show the world that love is possible through your grace. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
All right, folks, we are talking with you about marriage today on More to Life, which is our show titled Wedding Season. Be very, very quiet. We are hunting weddings today on marriage season, our wedding
little
season.
Elmer Fudd going
there
on
you go.
There.
877-573-7825 if you're going through some bigger little bumps, or if you've got some questions about somebody who's getting married this season or just recently gotten married, or if you're one of those folks, let's hear from you. 877-573-7825.
We're talking right now with Timothy, who's calling from Fort Worth, Texas, where he's listening to EWTN Radio on Guadalupe Radio.
Hey there, Timothy. What's your question for us? What can we do for you?
Well, I appreciate y'all taking my call. I've been married about 26 years, both cradle Catholic. So, you know, we're both committed if we weren't, I don't know if we would be together. And a lot of it is my fault, just in that I have trouble kind of with my overall discernment of what I need to be doing and how I need to live. And, you know, like I said, we both go to church and pray rosaries and go to adoration, things like that. And mm-hmm. I don't ever hear anything, you know. And my wife does, and all our friends do, and it's like I just feel like the odd man out. You know?
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say, Timothy, is that your wife and a lot of your friends have a very sort of spirit-filled prayer relationship where they feel the promptings of the Holy Spirit in some way. You are doing the same things, but not really feeling like you're getting a lot of feedback from God, that you know how to discern that well. Are there specific areas in your life where you're trying to discern specific things that you need some help with today? Or is it just generally, hey, everybody else can understand these promptings of the Holy Spirit and I'm just not recognizing them. I don't know how to do this. Which one or both?
Well, good question. It's a lot of, you know, what I need to be doing, you know, like financial problems, you know, popping in and out of jobs. It's like, I don't know, you know, where, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing. And it trickles down, like I said, then the marriage kind of gets on the rocks, the kids, you know, it all gets into the big pot. You know, I long for it. You know, that's my prayer, is let me know what you want me to do. You know, I used to pray for specific things. Now I'm like, I don't care what it is, just let me know.
Well, you know what? Here's something. I'm really glad you're asking this question, because this is a really important question that a lot of people struggle with. And believe it or not, it's actually easier to answer it than you think. Because I think, you know, we all have a tendency to sort of expect this sort of Cecil B. DeMille, Moses kind of, you know, God lighting the bush on fire kind of, I am talking to you now sort of experience when we're asking what God's will is. And it usually doesn't work that way. Saint Ignatius of Loyola was a master at kind of teaching people how to discern God's will. And he talks about three different ways that we can know what God's will is. The first way is exactly that way I was just describing, the kind of the blast from beyond, you know, where you will do this, you know, and it's kind of this, all we have to do is get out of God's way and we know it's going to happen, right? You know, so we have to just say yes and then the rest of it, we just know. But that tends to not happen very often. If it happens, when it happens, it tends to happen in those times when there's this, you know, just sort of huge life choice where God wants to make sure that we get it exactly right and we can't possibly figure it out on our own. But that, you know, maybe that's a once or twice in a lifetime kind of a deal. And for some people, it happens more often. But that's normally kind of what you see. The second mode that St. Ignatius talks about is I forget his term exactly, but it's basically like the coming of the dawn, right? You sort of bring a question before God, and you pray about it, and it's still kind of dark, and you're not sure what to do. And then you sort of sit with it, and it just kind of like comes to you that, well, this is probably a good thing to do. And then you kind of sit with it a little bit longer and you pray about it some more. And you say, well, yeah, no, I think this really is the right thing to do. And the more you sit with it and pray about it, the more it just feels like this is the right thing to do. And you maybe have some really good reasons for it, but they're not necessarily any better reasons than doing this other thing that would be just as good. And usually that way kind of comes about when you have a choice between two good things. You know, and just as the more you pray about it, the more it just seems clear that, yep, this is the one of the two good things that are in front of me. This is definitely the one God wants me to do. Just because you feel more compelled to move in that direction. The third mode that Ignatius talks about in terms of knowing God's will is just basically using good reason. You know, we have a tendency to think, you know, gosh, is this God talking to me or is this just my voice talking to me? And that's the wrong question. See, because on our own, we can't figure anything out. We can't desire anything good. We can't make right choices on our own. If we want something good, if we want to do something right, if we are trying to, you know, live a good life or make healthy choices, that's because God's talking to us. That's God's working in us. That even if we're, quote unquote, just using our reason, that's a gift from God. God talks to us through our reason. So when we pray about a decision and get information and it just looks like, you know what, this would be the right thing to do, that's actually God talking to you. And unless God whaps you upside the head with a 2x4 and says, no, Timothy, I don't want you to do that reasonable thing. I want you to do this instead. And he makes it just abundantly clear that, yes, indeed, you can walk on water, even though physics says you can't. Or, yes, indeed, you should. You know, unless you get that kind of bolt from the blue thing, you go with your reason and know that God is talking to you through that. We have a tendency to sort of overthink this. And I don't mean you shouldn't pray about it. I don't mean you shouldn't sit with it. I don't mean
no,
you shouldn't
continually
accept consultation. You know, you should do all of those things. You talk to a good, spiritually mature person. You pray about it. You kind of reflect on it. You gather more information. But when it comes right down to it, if it's just, quote unquote, just you making a decision and God hasn't, like, hit you upside the head with a 2x4, that's because God is talking to you in that quiet way through your reason and saying, hey, Timothy, I trust you. You got this. You know, I've given you a good brain, and I'm empowering that brain with my Holy Spirit. You do it, man.
And the same goes with your, because you're saying your wife, you know, feels these promptings of the Holy Spirit, your friends do. If you're in a discernment process with your wife and she's saying, well, I'm hearing God tell me this, and you're thinking, oh, I'm not really hearing God do anything, you apply these same things that Greg is talking about, because you're bringing your prayer and your reason to it, and you can enter into that conversation saying to her, honey, when I pray about it, my reason is telling me this. I'm not feeling what you're feeling on that, or I am, and we can go with it. But you don't have to absent yourself from the conversation, because not everything that you're trying to pray about has this, you know, burning bush kind of style to it.
So, you know, the thing is that when other people say, oh, I felt God was saying this, or I felt God was saying that, what they're doing is basically they're taking this feeling that's on their heart. And they're properly, assuming that they're testing it right, properly attributing it to God. Where you're tripping up is you're saying, yeah, I have this feeling on my heart, but I think it's just me. I don't know that that's really God, right? So as long as you are desiring to love God and do God's will, and as long as you're taking it to prayer and consultation, you know, and really not, and as long as you're not trying to do something that breaks the commandments of the teachings of the church, because the Holy Spirit's never going to ask you to do that.
Yes, that's very important to remember. Yeah.
You can trust that your reason and those feelings that you get in prayer are actually God talking to you, and you can go with that. Now, I got two resources for you to follow up on this, okay, Timothy? Because, I mean, as quote-unquote simple as it is, it's also not easy to get there. So I'm going to give you some other stuff we can work with. Two books. First of all, our book, The Life God Wants You to Have. It's all about how do you discern what God's calling you to, especially when you're going through tough times. What's the next chapter, and what's God saying through this, and how do you know it? Again, that's The Life God Wants You to Have, Discovering the Divine Plan When Human Plans Fail. And you can pick that up at our website, moretoliferadio.com. It's also at EWTN Religious Catalog. Another book, which is actually a terrific, terrific resource that builds on the stuff I was telling you about St. Ignatius, by Father Timothy Gallagher, who's really the guy who's writing on St. Ignatius these days. And it's very accessible and really, really good stuff. It's called Discerning the Will of God by Father Timothy Gallagher. And I believe EWTN Religious Catalog has that as well. So check it out there first, or go to Amazon. It's there. But you know what? You can definitely be a master at knowing God's will for your life, because God is talking to you. He's talking to everybody all the time in all kinds of ways that we can't even imagine. And if we just sort of tune our hearts and our minds to him, we'll hear him talking through our reason, talking through our hearts, and, yeah, sometimes whacking us upside the head with that 2x4, too. All of those good things.
And one other resource I'd like to throw in is Bishop Barron does some really good YouTube videos on discernment, so you can check those out as well.
All right, Timothy, so there's lots of places you can go from here. Hopefully this call will get you started down the right path. If you have any other questions about this, though, we'd love to hear from you. 877-573-7825. We are talking with you about wedding season today on More to Life. We're exploring what it takes to have the marriage God wants for you. You know, and Timothy called because he was struggling in his marriage about discernment. What are you and your spouse struggling with? 877-573-7825. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we're going to be joined by Bethany Miola, who's the Assistant Director for the USCCB's Secretariat for Laity, Marriage, Family, and Youth. She's going to be talking to us about how to break ground with couple prayer, if that's a new thing for you. So stick around for that, plus more of your calls at 877-573-7825 on Mowage when More to Life comes back. Stick around.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back. We're so glad to have you with us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and we're talking with you today about marriage on our show titled Wedding Season, as we explore what it takes to have the marriage God wants for you. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Every marriage has some hiccups, so what are the little or big bumps that you and your spouse are struggling with? Or if you're looking for a spouse, or you're going to get married and you're not sure what's the difference between marriage and the church and other kinds of marriage, or if you know somebody who's getting married and like maybe by a circus clown on the beach somewhere or whatever, and you're like, what do I do? We're here for all of that and more. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bethany Miola is the Assistant Director for the USCCB's Secretariat for the Laity, Marriage, Family, and Youth. And she's here to talk to us about one secret that's absolutely essential for a wonderful Christian marriage. Bethany, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks so much, Greg and Lisa. Good to be back.
And if you don't mind, we want to congratulate you on your new addition, Zelly. Congratulations, we took some time off, and it's
brand
new to have you back.
Mommy, and her brain's actually functioning enough to come back.
So
we're
God bless
so
you.
To have you, and God
Thanks
bless
so
you and Zelly.
Yeah,
and the
glad
whole
to
family.
Glad to talk with you guys.
All right. Well, so this big secret that is essential to Christian marriage. I say it's a big secret because a lot of couples don't do it. It's couple prayer. So tell us a little bit about, if we've never prayed together as a couple, or just sort of been very tentative about it. Why do we do it, and how?
Sure. I think with the why, it's helpful just to keep in mind, prayer isn't just something that we want to try to fit into our lives wherever we can, but, keeping in mind that prayer is really the foundation of a Christian marriage. Our marriages start with prayer, start with the nuptial mass, with the church service, and prayer really gives us that foundation to keep going, to keep living our vocation. You hear that nice phrase that couples are called to get each other to heaven, help each other on the path to heaven. And really praying together as a couple is a very tangible way to do that each and every day together in the home.
All right. So how do we begin to do that? I'm convinced, Beth. So where do I go?
Well, as far as the how, I think a couple roadblocks that couples often run into, one is just the very simple fact that our lives are very busy. So choosing a time, finding a time that works for both people. You know, for example, my husband and I have figured out that after dinner is really our prime time for prayer. So before we jump into any evening activities, and also before we're completely exhausted at the end of the day, to set aside that time and get into a routine of sitting down, praying together. And that could look different for every couple. You know, it could be morning, it could be later at night. Just finding that time that really works for both of you, and that can take some trial and error and being flexible with each other and having the humility to try different things when, you know, maybe one time doesn't work. And I think the other roadblock is just feeling like not sure how to begin. So not being afraid to start really small, short, simple. You know, it could be as simple as reading the scripture passage of the day, saying something that you're grateful for, to thank God for from the day, sharing an intention. A lot of that from the heart prayer can be really lovely to draw the couple closer together with each other, not only with God, but as they're sharing, you know, what's on their heart, it's a good way to grow in intimacy as a couple as well. So that's a really tangible fruit that can come from praying together.
Well, Bethany, I want to thank you for pointing out some of these really important things. And we're going to share a little bit more about couple prayer as we talk in the course of the program. But if folks would like to learn more about the good work you guys do for marriage at the USCCB, where can they turn for more information?
They can go to the For Your Marriage website. That's foryourmarriage.org. And we do have a couple really nice articles about couple prayer. So if folks are looking for more information, some tips, some ideas, some encouragement, that's a great place to start, foryourmarriage.org.
foryourmarriage.org. Bethany Miola, thanks for being with us today. A pleasure to spend this time with you.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right, folks, we're talking about wedding season today on More to Life. We're exploring what it takes to have the marriage God wants for you. If you've got some questions about your marriage, about an upcoming marriage, whether yours or someone you care about, or any other question related to weddings, we are here for you at 877-573-7825. We're also going to be sharing several More to Life hacks with you for celebrating the grace in your marriage and taking your marriage to the next level. That's all coming up on the program. So give us a call, 877-573-7825, and we'll field your questions and give you some new resources to start loving each other even more than you already do. More to Life will be back right after these messages. Stick around.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith, and please God, the faith of everyone here, is not blind. It rests on something. It rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popcheck. One of the biggest challenges facing newly married couples is when you have your first or your next baby. Here are three steps to help you work out this question together. Step one, ask yourself, what does God want? God has a plan for your family, and the closer you follow God's will, the happier you'll be. Pray about it as a couple, consistently and openly. Step two, practice what the church calls responsible parenthood. Openness to life doesn't mean just openness to conception. It also means meeting the true needs of the children you have. Ask God if you have the emotional, relational, and temporal resources to raise another child happily in His love. And step three, always stay open to what God wants to give. Even if you've discerned that this isn't the time for a baby, avoid the attitude of, we're done. Fertility is a gift. Don't block God's gifts with artificial means. For more guidance on Catholic family planning, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. It's wedding season today on More to Life as we explore what it takes to have the marriage God wants for you in the month that is the most popular month for marriages and weddings. So give us a call. Whether you're talking about your own marriage or someone you care about, we want to be here for you to help you take that relationship to the next level. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jared, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Chicago, Illinois, on the app.
Hey, Jared. Welcome to More to Life.
Hey, how's it going?
Just fine, thanks. What's your question for us?
I was feeling a little inspired, and I thought maybe I'd call in and give a little advice for some people who are maybe single, going through the wedding season, seeing all of their friends get married and such.
Oh, great. Good for you. What's inspiring you? What is this advice?
Yeah, so personally, I feel especially connected to her. I was engaged for 3 years and ended up calling off the marriage. Not going to get into that, really. But basically, especially from a guy's perspective, I think there's a couple of important things that we need to think about and do while you're single, even if you're not dating anybody right now.
Okay.
And I think it all comes down to just wanting to love your future spouse even before you've met them. So a couple of things I do in my own personal life is first and probably most important is I've prayed for them. So every night I say a Hail Mary, just hoping that my future spouse, wherever she may be, can get the grace that she needs to get through the coming day. And then also I think it's important, and part of probably why my engagement didn't work out is because I wasn't really ready for marriage, spiritually, economically, emotionally, physically. I was very young, still a little maybe unprepared, unready. So I think it's important to remember to work on your own spiritual life. If you don't have a job that can support a family, especially for guys, it's important to not forget that, to work on improving yourself, work on school, work on improving your career, work on improving like your physical fitness and stuff like that. And also, it's important to keep this in mind when you're dating, not just abstaining from sex when you're dating, but also dating with a purpose. And a thing that is not to just go around and be like, I'm going to go on a date with her because she's cute, go on a date with her because she's cute, but actually kind of like look at the woman and think about, would she be a good person that I could marry, that I could raise a good Catholic family with?
I love that you're, Jared, I love that you are speaking to so many people who are out there who are either single or single for another time. And so many people do this backwards. You know, they find people, as you said, that they think are cute or who they have feelings for or whatever it is, and then they try to fit in the spiritual piece. And often it's very hard to make those pieces fit. And the fact that you as a young man are saying, no, wait a minute, I know what I'm called to. I feel like the Holy Spirit's leading me toward marriage. I haven't met her yet, but she's out there. God has a plan for us. So I'm going to pray for her every day. I'm going to discern who she is by looking at the virtues she lives by, how she lives out her faith. Is she somebody I could be married to? I'm going to prepare my life and my heart to be that husband and father that I feel God's calling me to be. This is huge. And if I could get every single person thinking the way you do, we'd have much healthier marriages when people do get married, because you really are putting the horse before the cart instead of the other way around. You've got this lined up correctly, and it's great advice today. Thank you so much sharing it.
Really appreciate the
second
call,
at all.
And I also, you know, I want to give you a recommendation. I'm going to encourage you to pick up a copy of our book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, the new and revised edition, because, you know, it's a book that really looks over the Catholic vision of marriage and how to live it out at every stage of marriage, from the early years to the later years, because it gives you just a high-level view of what you're looking for as a single person. What's the kind of relationship that you really want to have with a future spouse? And what's the difference? What is the Catholic difference in marriage? And how do you start wrapping your head around what it's going to mean to live that? And why you want to live that? So For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage can walk you through all of that and build on the already excellent insights that you've got, Jerry.
Really great insights, though. And it's important. The one takeaway really is that, folks, if you are single and you are discerning that you are called to marriage, really don't allow spirituality, faith things to be the last box you check on the list. You know, it can't be, oh, they're cute and they're fun and they're have the same interest and, oh, yeah, maybe the spirituality will fit. It really has to be the first thing in the checklist that's checked off. The rest, you can grow in.
Important stuff. With that, let's go to Astrid, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maryland. Astrid, welcome to More to Life.
Well, I have a situation. Been married going on 31 years. For the first 27, I was more of a cradle Catholic. I did attend Mass on Sundays, but I'm not married in the Catholic Church, and I always knew that I could not participate, celebrate the sacraments because I was not married in the church. So I would go to Mass and sit at the very end of the church, mm-hmm. as if I had like the scarlet letter
of
sinful woman. So I couldn't take it anymore, so last 3 years, I would say, I went back to the church. I had a confession that lasted maybe like 40 hours. And, okay, from all that, I knew that I had to make a decision, a very hard one, and that was to become not have intimate relationship with my husband so that I could participate and celebrate the sacrament of the Eucharist and mm-hmm. so forth. So I pray a lot lately. I've offered my husband up to St. Joseph, to our Blessed Mother, to just kind of speak to him, because he hates me at this point. He hates the church. Yet he'll go to Mass with me if I go, but it will just be mechanical. And so,
Astrid, let me ask you a question. You're saying he's coming, he's willing to go to Mass with you if you go. Is he willing to get married to you in the church?
I don't know.
Well, that would be the first thing to ask. Why don't you know?
I've asked him, but he's danced around the question by saying that, oh, he asked me, you know, once before, and my response is, that must have been like 20 years ago, and I was a different person, and
right.
there must have been circumstances that led me to say, no, not at this moment.
Okay, but so since this confession, since this major revelation that you've had, and you've broken the intimate connection with your husband because you want to receive Eucharist, all walking in the right direction of you unifying your heart with Christ and hoping that he'll come alongside you, you're praying for him. you haven't asked him if he's willing to get married in the church?
I have, but he hasn't given me a straightforward response.
Okay, because you were saying 20 years ago.
Bad.
Okay, so
okay,
we got you now.
No, I understand. So here's the thing, Astrid. Okay, let me kind of walk you through, because a lot of people know the rule, quote unquote, mm-hmm. but they don't necessarily understand what the point is. And I think this is going to be something that will help you and a lot of listeners understand, and maybe help you talk to your husband about what you're asking when you ask him to marry you in the church. This goes to what I was saying at the very beginning of the show, where, you know, let's imagine going to a store, an imaginary store, the marriage store, okay? And you got lots of different products on the shelf. You know, you got, you know, living together, you got civil marriage, you get married on the beach, you got getting married, you know, in some church or another, and you get married in the Catholic Church. And they're all lined up against each other, right? These products, if you will. And just like if you pick up a box of detergent or anything, right, and you look on the back, they'll say, you know, our product does this, this, and this, and their product does that, you know, and there's a side-by-side product comparison. Well, and for better forever, we kind of walk through that side-by-side, quote-unquote, product comparison of the different marriage products that are on the shelf in the marriage store and how Catholic marriage stacks up to all those other different kinds. When you get married civilly, you promise to pay your taxes together, share your stuff, and claim your kids. Those are the promises you make, and those are important promises. I'm not knocking that, but that's it. You promise to, you know, share your stuff, pay your taxes, and claim your kids.
It's a lot better than not promising each other anything, but it's a far cry from what the church gives you.
If you get married in some church or get some minister to sort of say some Christian things about marriage, what you're doing there is you're promising to, you know, share your stuff, claim your kids, and involve God in some way or another in your relationship. But it's kind of more up to you. Right? You're still defined. That couple is still defining what marriage means to them. When you get married in the church, what you are saying is, we are making the promises that the church asks us to make about marriage, to love each other in a new way, in a way that reflects the free and total and faithful and fruitful love that comes from God's own heart. We're still going to maintain all those promises we made before, but we're taking it to a new level and bringing every part of our lives to God and asking him to teach us how to love each other in ways that we could never learn to love each other, even on our own. So, you know, Astrid, saying to your husband, I want you to marry me in the church, doesn't mean that his asking you 20 years ago to get married was a bad thing, or that somehow the promises you made were invalid and inappropriate or whatever, but that they were incomplete. That there's more that God wants to give you. And the reason that the church says that, you know, that you can't go to communion if you're a Catholic and you marry outside the church, it's not because it wants to be mean to you. It's because it's saying, you know what, we think you're settling for a lesser love. God wants to give you a love that really reflects that free and total and faithful love that comes from his own heart, that love that you experience in the Eucharist. And so you're settling. And so we want you to really reflect hard on that and see what you're missing out on and come back into the fold so you can experience all that love. And that's what you've done. You said, okay, God, I want that love in my heart from you. Now, the next step, Astrid, is to go to your husband and say, look, I love you, honey, and I want to love you better. And that's why I want to get married in the church, because getting married in the church means that we're promising to love each other on a deeper level, promising to love each other even more than we already do, promising to learn to love each other with God's love. And I want that kind of love with you. Will you join me? And don't take no for an answer. You know, work with him on that. Talk with him. Go make an appointment to talk with your pastor together and start going through the process of learning how to get married in the church and what that means. And pick up a copy of For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, which will walk you through this whole thing in much more detail than we have time for in the program here. But it's going to help give you the language that you need to explain what you're really asking your husband for here. And if he's the guy that you're saying that he is, a guy who, even though he's mad at you and mad at the church for what you've done, he's still willing to go to Mass with you and still willing to talk about this stuff, he's going to be willing to hear what you share with him from this book. And I'm going to really encourage you to not just back down and not just keep suffering in silence one way or the other here. I want you to really take that next step and receive all the love that God is giving you in the Eucharist, take it back home, and tell your husband that you want to love him even more, and that you want to love with the love that comes from God's heart. and to promise each other that you're going to love each other that way, which is what getting married in the church really means. Again, we talk all about this in For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. Check it out at our website, moretoliferadio.com. It's also available at EWTN Religious Catalog. God bless you, Astrid, for your years of faithful struggle. You're a hero to me and an inspiration, and I want to thank you for your powerful, faithful witness to Lisa and I, as well as to all the other listeners who are in a similar situation. Many, many, many blessings to you. As we head out here, I want to share a More to Life hack, building on what Bethany Miola said earlier. We're talking about different ways to celebrate your marriage. The first way to celebrate your marriage is to celebrate your faith. You know, couple prayer really allows you to fill each other's hearts with the love that comes from God's heart. It helps you learn to love each other with more than you have to give on your own. It lets you consecrate every part of your life together so that the grace of the sacrament can help you get more out of your conversations, your partnership, your celebrations and struggles, and even your physical relationship.
So take a minute with your spouse at the start of each day. Thank God for specific things about your spouse. Ask God to help your spouse with the specific challenges of the day, as well as any challenges you're facing as a couple. Pray that God make you the husband or wife he really wants you to be, and to love your spouse with the free, total, faithful, and fruitful way that he wants you to. Make the sign of the cross on your spouse's head as a reminder that both of you belong to God and deserve to be loved as his son and his daughter, and seal your prayer with a kiss. That's little mini daily renewal of your vows to love each other, no matter what.
You know, bringing yourselves to God and letting grace take your marriage to this new place is going to help you have a marriage you never believed was possible on your own. Couple prayer is absolutely essential to living the Catholic difference in your relationship. When we come back, we're continuing to share more great ideas for celebrating your marriage and taking it to the next level, plus taking your calls. Every marriage has got some bumps now and again. What are the little or big bumps that you and your spouse are struggling with? Or what concerns do you have about either an upcoming wedding or a recent wedding or a friend's wedding or family member's wedding? If you've got marriage questions of any sort, at any stage, we are here for you. 877-573-7825. Stick around. More to Life will be back right after this.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and we're taking your calls about marriage today on our show titled, It's wedding season. We're exploring what it takes to have the marriage God wants for you. And whether you're going through some difficult times in your relationship or you just want to take the marriage to the next level, we want to hear from you. 877-573-7825.
Right now we're talking to a listener to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hey there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Yes, I have a question. I went through menopause, and now it's hard for me to be intimate with my husband because it's painful. And so I struggle, you know, being intimate with him. Mm-hmm. And he's not taking it so well. And I was just wondering what advice you got for me, or if I am fulfilling my duty as a wife, since I, you know, struggle with this and
sure.
not wanting to be.
Well, yeah. Gosh, you know what? I mean, you're struggling with a real issue here, and, you know, and that's not unusual for women who are going through either perimenopause or postmenopause to have some issues with regard to pain. Lubrication issues all become problematic whenever it comes to sex. There are easy ways to work through that, and it's certainly something that you can definitely deal with effectively. But I want to start by saying, you know, let's stop talking about sex as a duty. In marriage, let's stop that language. You know, I'm not saying that it's incorrect to talk about it in those terms, but we're using technical, moral, theological language to talk about pastoral and practical things, and they don't often go together real well. You know, so looking at sex as an obligation in marriage or something you owe to your husband misses the whole point, right? It's supposed to be about intimacy. It's supposed to be about, this is a time where I get to fall into the arms of the person who gets me the most. It's supposed to be a way of saying, you know, we work for each other's good all day long. Look how our bodies even work for each other's good. And I don't know if that sounds ideal. Well, it's something we all need to be working toward. And that's how we need to view sexuality in marriage. Not, oh, I have to do this because that's what married people do. And that's what I owe my husband, even though it doesn't feel good and I don't like it. Let's address the issues there. First of all, go talk to your gynecologist about ways to approach the pain issue, whether it's a structural problem or a simple issue of lubrication that can be very easily handled. And there's nothing wrong with any of those remedies medically for dealing with those kinds of issues. Also, making sure that you're increasing foreplay and making sure to take that time to be intimate, to be affectionate, to really build up to sexual intercourse, and really make sure that you're taking the time to relax in each other's arms and not just approach sex in a very kind of business-like, okay, it's time to do this thing, but really approaching each other with genuine love. The other thing, you know, if you've been thinking about sex in terms of it being a duty or something you owe to him, you know, that can also be a very big obstacle, because we can only enjoy physical relations to the degree that we bring ourselves to it. You know, how much do you tell your husband what feels good and what you like and what you don't like? And how much do you think about being with him and what you might like to ask him to do or to try? You know, it's okay for you to want to be with him, to talk about things that make you feel good. And if you don't do that right now, chances are that's a big reason why you're having a hard time enjoying it, because sex is something that's happening to you, that's being done to you, instead of something that you're participating in. So I'm going to encourage you, okay, to pick up a copy of our book, Holy Sex, because it looks at the gift of sexuality in marriage and helps you really kind of look at how to approach a passionate, joyful, loving, grace-filled sexuality in marriage from the context of Catholic spirituality. And I think it's really going to open your eyes and take things to a new level. I want to give you a chance to jump in here, though, Lisa, because you're the woman, and I want you to be able to kind of, what do you think about what I'm saying?
I absolutely agree with everything you're saying, 100%, especially the idea of really spending that time in your spouse's arms when it has nothing to do with your sexual relationship. Getting that time every day to be close to each other, to just kind of fall into each other's arms in a way that's non-sexual. It's going to bridge that relationship between, oh, this is all, as Greg was saying, this is all like this duty or this thing that's being done, to really a relationship that's deeper and more intimate and allows you to both talk and communicate in many ways about this, that it's going to change everything up. Another great resource that I would love to give you is the Living in Love program that's led by Ron and Kathy Fair. It's fantastic. There are communities of this all over the country, and I would go to livinginlove.com and see if there's one in your area. It would be a great program for you and your husband to get involved in that would really teach you this kind of intimacy outside of sexuality that really leads to a deeper spiritual Catholic intimacy in the long run. It's a wonderful program to get to be part of.
Just very briefly, in the 10 seconds we've got left, a lot of people will say, well, what about the desire question? You know, because after menopause, sometimes desire goes down. The issue there is, you know, sex isn't, marital sexuality isn't primarily driven by arousal. It's driven by intimacy. So very often, you know, you don't feel like swinging from the chandeliers, right? No matter what. But if you're able to really approach it the way we're talking about from this perspective of intimacy, of just kind of being together, of, you know, being close to each other and being affectionate and just being with your best friend, then that's what enables you to actually start to feel that desire for each other again.
And one more thing, go back to what we've been talking about for the whole show. If you're not praying together about this, start praying about it now. It really leads to a much deeper intimacy.
Holy Sex talks about all that and more. You can pick it up at more2liferadio.com, and you can learn more about all the resources we have, including the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Check it out, more2liferadio.com, or call 740-266-6461 to make an appointment. God bless. Have a great day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.